produced by Caleb Padgett on Finding My Way Radio Channel. Listen live on the internet or by calling toll-free 1-347-850-8560 in the U.S. or for international callers, dial 1-888-201-5313. Toll-free USA, 1-347-850-8560. Toll-free international callers, 1-888-201-5313.
My name is Debbie Keller, and my company is Home and Office Transitions. I provide move management services for individuals and companies. We were looking for a company with high-quality service, integrity, and one that was committed to the same high standards of customer service that we were. And we found all of those in Ewing Moving and Storage.
Welcome, welcome, welcome. Thank you for tuning in to my father's teaching. My name is Terrence Burton. Thank you so much again for joining us. For this particular lesson, we're going to be talking about the subject of prayer. And before we get into it, let's go ahead and pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, we give you honor. We give you praise and glory. We thank you for giving us direction. Father, we thank you for opening the eyes of our understanding. Father, we thank you for causing us to see things that we hadn't seen before. Father, thank you for expanding our understanding, Father. Father, cause our hearts and minds to receive insight that we had not seen before. Father, we thank you for putting the scriptures together, putting the pieces together, and causing us to see prayer in a way perhaps as we haven't seen it before, but definitely in a new light that would make us not run from prayer, but that it'll make us run into prayer, knowing what we're doing. Father, make us skillful prayers, skillful people with the word of God. Father, make us those who you deem the house of the living God. We give you honor, glory, and praise in Jesus' name. Amen, amen, amen. As I stated in the intro, the subject matter that we're going to be talking about for the next few weeks or so is the subject of prayer. And more specifically, what we're going to be dealing with in this lesson is the house of prayer. And what is it? I understand what people think the house of prayer is, but we're going to really talk about what the house of prayer really is. And we're going to start with Isaiah chapter 56, verse 7. And it says, "Even them will I bring to my holy mountain and make them joyful in my house of prayer. Their burnt offerings and their sacrifices shall be accepted upon mine altar. For mine house should be called a house of prayer for all people." And so in this particular passage, God calls his house a house of prayer. So if it's his house, then it's a house of prayer. Now we're going to couple this passage with 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 19. And it says, "What? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which you have of God, and ye are not your own, for ye are bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's." So basically, when you put these two scriptures together, when God is talking about his house or the place that he lives, he's actually talking about us. He's talking about the believer, that God actually lives in the believer. Now, we're going to deal with that more as we talk about prayer. But one of the things that I want to lay sort of as some foundation with this, when we look at Isaiah chapter 56, verse 7, there's a word that stood out to me as I was meditating on this particular passage, and that's the word "my." He says, "I will bring to my holy mountain," and then he says, "I will make them joyful in my house of prayer." He says, "Their burnt offerings and their sacrifices shall be accepted upon mine altar." And then he says, "For mine house shall be called a house of prayer for all people." And so one of the things that the Father wants us to really understand is that he claims ownership over the house. He owns the house. So prayer is his house, or his house is a house of prayer. And so in 1 Corinthians, what he's talking about is he's given us certain things relative to this house that we need to know and understand. And we're going to take a peek at these. And then in a moment, we're going to get down to five different things that we can look at to identify God's house and know when we're looking at God's house and know if we're actually functioning as God's house and what things that we need to get in alignment so that we can really be that house of prayer that we need to be for all nations. And so in 1 Corinthians 6:19, again, it says, "What? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you?" I have heard people say, you know, through the years that your body is your temple. I've heard people say that all the time, that my body is my temple. Actually, that's not true. Your body does not belong to you. And the reason that we're making the kinds of mistakes that we're making in life is predominantly, I believe, because people think that their body is their own. And as a consequence, they think that the other person's body is their own. And that's why we tend to hurt each other so easily, because we don't understand that my body belongs to God. And if my body belongs to God and the other person's body belongs to God, then that should garner a certain level of respect that I have for other people, because I'm not dealing with someone who owns themselves, and neither am I a person who owns myself, but that I am a person who is owned by God. And as a result, my decisions have to be based upon the fact that I'm owned by another. See, in life, there are certain decisions that you would make that would be different if you really saw yourself as being owned by God versus being owned by yourself. Because see, many times we tend to treat ourselves as if we're our own master, as if we're our own Lord. But he said in this verse that your body is not your temple. He says it's the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you. So God is living in you. So that's a fact that we need to especially understand as believers, is that we are God's house. We are God's temple. And as a consequence, God is living inside of us. Why is that important? Because that fact affects our decision making. It filters into everything that we do when we think about ownership, who owns me and who lives in me. So God owns me, but he also lives in me. And it says, which you have of God, and you are not your own. But then he tells us why we're not our own. And one of the things that kind of struck me was that God didn't say that we're not our own because he created us. He said, no, you were bought with a price. In other words, I'm not my own because God paid for me. God purchased me. See, what we have to understand when it comes to God's plan of redemption was that God bought us. Because when man yielded himself to sin, then he belonged truly to death. He belonged to the devil. So what God did was he had Jesus pay the price in death to buy us back from death. So we belong to God because we've been purchased by the blood of the Messiah. So then it says, therefore, or because we're not our own and because God paid for us with a price, then the result should be that we should glorify God in our body, in our spirit, which belong to him. Since he paid for them, then they should be doing what God wants them to do, is the logic of the Apostle Paul who wrote this. So then, now let's go ahead and go back to Isaiah chapter 56, verse 7. So what we're going to look at here is the profile of this house that God purchased. What is this house that he lives in? What does it look like? You know, it's good to know if you're trying to find a house you've never been to, if you can know what color it is, you know, the address, you have something that says what this house looks like. And so same thing, that we ought to know what God's house looks like. I know we have been trained to believe that the house of God was a building. But we're not talking about a building in this lesson. We're talking about a people. We're talking about the believer, that you are the house. You house God. And as the one who houses God, you are also the house of prayer, because God lives in a house of prayer. So again, in Isaiah 56, verse 7, this is a 5-point breakdown that we're going to look at here. So he says, even them will I bring to my holy mountain. He didn't just say mountain, but he describes this mountain, his home, as being holy. So point number one, holy living is to be found in this house. Well, what does that mean? It means that God's house is a reflection of the character of the owner. Think about it in the natural. Your house reflects your character. If you were to leave out of your house and then just leave the door open and let me come in and take a look around, there are some things that I could learn about you just from looking at your house. Think about it. I could find out without even going inside. Let's not even get inside yet, but without even going inside, I can look at I can see if you're good with keeping up the yard, that kind of thing. Do you cut your grass regularly? Do you have debris in your yard? Is your house painted? Is the roof caving in? Do you have cars that aren't running, sitting in the driveway, under the carport? You know, is your fence falling apart? And so those are all things that will tell me something about the owner. And so what God is simply saying is this, that since I've purchased you, then I want you to reflect my character, just like you would want your house in the natural to reflect your character, or whether you want it to or not, it does. And so likewise with God, God wants us as the house of prayer to be a people that reflect the character of the owner. Point number two, joy is to be found in this house. It says, and make them joyful in my house of prayer. So the house of prayer is a happy place. The house of prayer is a place that has a joy to it, an enthusiasm to it. There's an excitement. There is a divine vigor. There's a divine pleasure that this house holds. So joy is something that you can find in this house, because we're looking at the character of God's house. We're trying to find his house. Number three, this house gives to God. It says their burnt offerings in Isaiah 56, 7, their burnt offerings and their sacrifices shall be accepted upon mine altar. This house gives to God. It finances kingdom endeavors. Now, part of that, we could look at tithes and offerings, but part of that, we could also look at what is this person doing for the community? Are they blessing people? Are they feeding those who are hungry? Are they clothing those who are naked? Are they housing those who are without residence? Are they ministering to and meeting the needs of those who are incarcerated? Because the kingdom endeavors involves the church, but the church is included in the kingdom, but the church is not the kingdom. The kingdom is so much bigger than a church house, but either way, the house of prayer should be financing kingdom endeavors. In other words, what the kingdom is concerned about monetarily, the house of prayer should be also concerned about monetarily as well. So we've got that holy living is to be found in this house. Number two, joy is to be found in this house. Number three, this house gives to God. It finances kingdom endeavors. Number four, this house is known for prayer. Now, one of the things that concerns me is that over the years, the church, which we think of as the house of God, which is truly the people of God, we have been known for a lot of things other than prayer. And I could just put a pin right there. I could have just talked about that particular point. But what I believe that the Father is calling us to is to make corrections. And so we should be known for prayer. Many times the believer is known for unbelief. Many times the believer is known for judging folks and criticizing folks. Many times the believer is known for hypocrisy and things like that. Many times we're known because we have nice cars. You know, we want everybody to see our nice car, our nice house and all of that. And I'm not knocking nice cars and nice houses. But what I am saying is that there are things that we should have and there are things that we should be known for. Let me give you an example. Let's say you went to a pancake house to get some pancakes, but they didn't have any pancakes. They had some sausage. They had some biscuits. They had some hot dogs, hamburgers, some cheese toast, some French fries. They had some catfish, but they didn't have pancakes. So here's my point. God doesn't mind us having other things in the house, but what he's concerned about is that we should be known for prayer. So somebody may come to us and may not necessarily be able to get a car, but they should be able to get prayer. Somebody may come into our lives and they may not necessarily be able to get a new house, but they should be able to get answered prayer. Why? Because that's what we should be known for. Yeah, we can have other things, but my God, how would you feel if you went to the pancake house and they said, well, let's go see if we got something in the back? You're thinking, did they not think we were coming? They weren't expecting us. And so since God has called us to be the house of prayer, then we ought to operate from a place where we don't mind people surprising us needing prayer. Why? Because that's just what we do. That's what we're known for. Just like the pancake house is known for pancakes, as the house of prayer, we're known for praying. We're known for standing in the gap for people. Somebody knows that when I need prayer, I can come to you. I can come to this person. I can come to this brother. I can come to this sister. Why? Because that person is known to me for prayer. I remember one of the greatest compliments I've ever had in my life, and I'm just mentioning this because it fits in so perfectly with this. I remember years ago, I was working at a company and this lady came to me. There were some things that she was going through with her family. And she came to me and said, I heard that God listens to you. And I've got some things going on. I'm not going to go through the whole story, but that blessed me that the rumor that was going on was that God listens to me. Now, God couldn't have been listening to me if I hadn't been talking. And that was true then, and it's true now. And I thank God that I can say, as Jesus did, that Father, I thank you that you always hear me. Because it's a beautiful thing that when you're talking, your words mean something to God. So we should be known for prayer. Fifth point, we should pray without prejudice. That's the fifth point for the house of prayer. We should pray without prejudice. He said, for mine house should be called a house of prayer for all people. So we should pray for people regardless of race, nationality, sexual orientation, political affiliation, or doctrinal differences. Sometimes we tend to think that we should pray for those who agree with us. And the problem with that is that it really highlights our selfishness. What about those who don't agree with us? If I'm a Republican, what about the Democrat? If I'm a Democrat, then what about the Republican? If I'm black, what about the white guy? If I'm white, what about the black guy? If I'm African, what about the American? If I'm American, what about the Asian? And so forth. So, in other words, my prayers should not be about me, my four, and no more. My prayers ought to include everybody. Why? Because we should have a heart that everybody is saved and come into the knowledge of the truth. So there is something that we can pray for everybody. It doesn't mean that we pray the same thing for everybody, because there are different things that we may be led to pray, but we should be praying for everybody simply because we care about everybody. And because of the fact that we want to really be that house that God describes in his word. So I'm not praying solely because I want to see something happen. I want to see something happen. But what I'm after the most is making sure that I am a proper representation of what God is describing when he's talking about his house. I want to make sure that I'm living holy. Why? Because that's part of his house. I want to make sure that I'm full of joy. Why? Because that's part of his house. I want to make sure that I'm a giver, that I'm financing kingdom endeavors. Why? Because that's part of his house. I want to make sure that I don't just pray, but that's something that I'm known for. And not only that, but that I am praying without any prejudice. I don't look at you and say, because you're gay, I'm not going to pray for you. And I'm saying this as a person who has prayed for and with homosexuals. So I don't look at things like that to determine if I'm going to pray for you, because as the house of prayer, that's just what I do. It doesn't matter where you are with God to determine if I will pray for you. Because I understand that I am to pray without prejudice. Just like Jesus died without prejudice. In other words, his blood was shed for everybody. Then what right do I have to limit my prayers, considering Jesus did not limit his blood? We're going to end right there. Thank you so much for joining us. And I want to close with these words. Remember, my brothers and sisters, it is the Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. See you next time. God bless.
Produced by Caleb Padgett on Finding My Way Radio Channel. Listen live on the internet or by calling toll-free 1-347-850-8560 in the U.S. or for international callers, dial 1-888-201-5313. Toll-free USA, 1-347-850-8560. Toll-free international callers, 1-888-201-5313.